today's first reading, we see a situation in which there are two other kings who are preparing to invade Judah, invade Jerusalem. And the king is anxious and worried. But God asks through the prophet that Ahaz would make a request. The prophet doesn't say to him, "I think it would be a good idea for you to ask God for a sign." The prophet says, "The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, 'Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as another world or high as the sky.'" It's God who asks Ahaz. It would be like me coming up to you with a wallet full of money and saying, "What can I do for you? I want you to tell me what you want, and it will be done." And you saying, "No, that's all right. I don't want to tempt you." God is inviting this generous response on his part. He is inviting what he wants to do, to assure Ahaz that he has nothing to be afraid of, that God knows him, that he's on his side, that he's there with him. And yet Ahaz refuses. And so God proclaims a sign. Now the sign he proclaims, the virgin shall give birth to a child. And then it continues, and it says the child will be able to distinguish between right and wrong before these two that are coming against you are no more. So we have to understand the sign in its context, understanding that God is making a prediction about these two enemies that are coming against him, and his prophetic word of assurance to Ahaz that they will be no more shortly. And this child will be called God is with us, because in fact God is with Ahaz. He is with his people. He is defending them in this moment. Now, that's not why this reading was chosen for today. Because like all prophetic words, they find their fulfillment in Jesus. And so the description of the virgin with the child and him receiving the name Emmanuel, God is with us, the most perfect incarnation of that word is the incarnation. The most perfect fulfillment of that word is that God would not just enter into a situation of a battle and difficulty for Ahaz, but God would enter in to the situation of all of the world, its reality of sin, and that God would enter in and be with us to redeem us there. That's why this reading is chosen for today, as we celebrate the incarnation, the Annunciation, as we celebrate the angel Gabriel inviting Mary to be the mother of Jesus. We see in the two remaining readings, the second reading in the Gospel, as they touch upon this sense of will, of being invited to do God's will, that sacrifices and oblations of the old law, the blood of bulls and goats, impossible to take away sin. What God wanted was obedient response to enter into his will, to know his will and to do it. Again, we see that fulfilled in Jesus. The offering of himself. At no point in the law does it say to offer a human sacrifice. And yet Jesus offers himself as the unblemished lamb in everything. I'm reminded as I speak of so many times Jesus' life is threatened. You know, even in his own hometown, they march him to the hillside, going to throw him off, and that he just walks through their midst. Like, how can you do that? I mean, you're in the midst of an angry crowd. How can you just walk away? Well, it's not his time. It makes us imagine that any time during the crucifixion, had Jesus wanted to, he simply could have walked away. But it was his Father's will. It was the time. And so Jesus goes to his cross, to his death, to his reconciliation of the world to his Father in this perfect sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, our celebration of the Mass is not a re-crucifixion of Jesus. In the mystery of this, we enter again into this one offering of himself, this one sacrifice of himself, and we join ourself to him. Not that we do that, this takes place in our baptism and our confirmation, when we enter in and receive communion for the first time and then continue to perpetuate this. As we enter in, our life has become one with Jesus. And when we celebrate the Eucharist, the Mass together, we embody this offering of himself, because it is the perfect offering of Jesus to the Father. And so we, as his body, incorporate into that, to be incarnate with him in this one offering of ourself to the Father. And I know you're saying, well, thanks, Father, for bringing up the fact that we can't receive communion, we can't come to the church. Sorry, but this is the point. This is what we do in sacramental sign and wonder. We unify ourselves with Jesus. We offer ourselves to the Father. How can I make a return to the Lord for all that he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will raise. I will call upon the Lord's name. This is what we do. But my brothers and sisters, I think what we're realizing is that it's not just here in the church that we are supposed to do this. This is the perfect expression of who we are as the bride of Christ, the two becoming one and offering ourselves with him, through him, with him, and in him to the Father. But we are supposed to do this every day, not just here in sacramental sign and wonder. We're supposed to do it out there in our homes, out there in our businesses, out there in the street, much more in the home these days. We are supposed to be one with God, knowing his will, desiring to do it, and doing it in union with Jesus. It's almost like we should wake up every morning and the first thing that comes out of our mouth is, well, first of all, good morning, God. And then saying, may I live my life today through him, with him, and in him. May you be glorified. Thank you for this new life I have in him. We see that this is very concrete in the gospel for our Blessed Mother, for Mary. The angel Gabriel speaks a word, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. This word is received and it prepares her heart for this mission where her life, not in sacramental sign and wonder, but in actual reality, will become connected to Jesus. This is why Mary has always been so important to the church. Okay, that sounds weird coming out of my mouth. She's always been important to the church because she is the mother of Jesus and she loves us and she continues to intercede for us. What I mean in saying that is theologically, for the church, she is so important. Why? Because she is the model of the church. Because as she does, her willingness to become one with Jesus in this moment, that God's plan for salvation and Mary's plan for her life would become interwoven and able to be separated again. This is the kind of response that we are supposed to have as church. praying of the rosary these days. Those words, you know, it's very important that the rosary is intended to be a contemplative prayer. Not just words coming out of our mouth, but we're supposed to be thinking about these mysteries in the life of Jesus and Mary. And when we say the words of the angel, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you," it is as if we are invoking this blessing that was given to her to be prepared, to prepare her heart to receive Jesus. That same invocation, as we repeated, that grace would prepare our heart to receive the grace of this mystery, that we would enter into deep thought, into this meditation. So it seems appropriate, my brothers and sisters, this celebration today, the invitation for us to not just come to Mass and participate, not just come to Mass and watch, but in all honesty, the true fulfillment of what we do in this celebration, it has to be lived out in our daily life. It's to be concrete in the concrete decisions of our day, of what we do, of how we treat people, of mercy, of compassion. The reason the Mass and coming to it is so important is, one, we're reminded of who we are, and we enter into this perfect celebration with each other and with Jesus in the offering. And we learn from that how we are supposed to live our life. Our lived life is to be like a Mass in which we know who we are and enjoy in the celebration because of being a blessed son and daughter of God, that we then live our life in response to that. Going a little long today, but it's a feast day, so bear with me. What an incredible invitation and an opportunity we have, my brothers and sisters, to start thinking specifically in this way. How can I live out my life? How can I make my fiat, my yes, to the invitation of God to be one with His Son, not just on Sunday morning, not just when I come to the church, but to be one with His Son every moment of my life? And that same Spirit that rested upon Jesus, that we received in baptism, in confirmation, would enable us to be one with Him at every moment. And that it would find expression, not expression in order to earn His love because we already have been loved, but to be in that love, to remain in that love, to abide in that love, and then make a response to God in our everyday. It is a beautiful challenge. A beautiful challenge for the church. But it is exactly who we are and what we are called to be. Amen.